Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, brought to you by Digitex. Office supplies at huge savings?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Doubleheader tomorrow at Rogers Place. It's where I'm at right now. The Edmonton Oil Kings are just on the ice. They'll take on the Brandon Wheat Kings, who've been giving up a ton of goals this year, and the Oil Kings will have all four of their Team Canada World Junior members that didn't get a chance to see things through back after Caden Gooley missed a couple games when the other guys got back just before the shutdown. The Oilers and the Ottawa Senators tomorrow night. As the Oilers play for the first time in 10 games, Ottawa hasn't played a lot here of late either. They had a COVID scenario run through their team. And we're going to talk about the Ottawa Senators right here, right now, as we go to the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline. Our Oilers Now headliner today is brought to you by Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It just might be the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, Wilhauk today. We welcome back to the show Senators General Manager Pierre Dorion. Pierre, how you doing?
Good. How about yourself, Bob?
Good. It was good to bump into you earlier today. Thank you for taking time to join us on the show. And I guess the first question I have for you, because the Oilers are experiencing a bit of this as well right now, how much of a challenge is it for a general manager and the coaching staff to be putting together a roster on a day-by-day basis when you're not sure who you're necessarily going to have because of the COVID protocol that takes place in the National Hockey League?
I can tell you the most anxious I get every day is around 7:30 when we get our official PCR results from the day before. I get them texted to me from our director of sports medicine, and every morning I'm just praying that not another guy or two or three are added to the list.
And you added a guy on this trip, and that was Tim Stützle, who, you know, a year ago, right around this time, we were just wrapping up the World Junior Tournament. He was unbelievable for Germany during the course of it. He's obviously one of your electrifying, exciting players, and I guess you're hoping to have him back in tomorrow. I'm not sure if that's going to come to fruition. And that's one of the guys got to test out, too, in order to be available.
Yeah, under this new protocol, obviously, you can't have any symptoms and you got to test out. And, you know, obviously, as with the other 31 teams, we follow the protocol and, you know, our doctors have to give clearance and, you know, they're in touch with the NHL. And, you know, it's not just 5 days. You have to be symptom-free and you have to be able to be negative at the time that you come out of the protocol.
All right. What did it mean to your organization? I look at Shabbat and Tkachuk and I'm like, those are your two best players. You got Shabbat done a couple years ago, and this fall you got Brady Tkachuk signed to a long-term deal. That's got to be the structure of the deal, by the way. The contract rises as, in theory, maybe North American society gets a little bit more healthier and the industry gets a little bit more robust, but it must have been a big day for your club to get him done long-term.
Well, obviously, it took a bit longer than I think both parties wanted, but, you know, getting Brady done long-term was something that we definitely wanted to do. You know, he's an integral part of our team. He's our captain. He's a guy that, you know, obviously that plays hard every night. He leads our team in hits, leads our team in shots for most of the time. So I think it's he's definitely someone that we were very happy to have signed long-term.
I like Batherson and Formanton for you a little bit. You know, Batherson's got maybe a higher offensive ceiling. Formanton can really skate. He's an RFA. You've got some good young players, don't you, Pierre?
No, we got some really good young players, obviously, on our team right now. We got some good young players in the American League. We'll have a really good young player play against the Oil Kings tomorrow in Ridley Gregg, who's part of Team Canada World Junior team, that I'll be there watching him. So, we got some really good young players in our organization. It's just with young players, we just got to make sure we mold them right, we develop them right, then we put them in the NHL when they're ready to succeed.
Pierre, you're as opposed to the Pacific Division, which is wide open, any one of six or seven teams might be able to climb into the top two or three spots. Things are a little bit more delineated than the two Eastern divisions. And you do have a couple pending UFAs. And this, I mean, you're in the position you're in here. Do you expect things to heat up here over the night? I mean, the deadline isn't until March 21st, so we're basically 2 months away. But, you've got some guys that are – Tierney's a guy that could be a useful player. I personally love Nick Paul. I don't know if you're trying to get him signed to an extension. But have things picked up a little bit call-wise for you?
I have to tell you that I think all the 32 teams are trying to get through. You know, most teams have been hit by COVID, and I think that's the priority of coaches and GM at this point in time. There hasn't been as much trade chatter as in previous years. A lot of times at this time of the year, teams are having their scouting meetings, whether pro or amateur, and talking to guys. That's what they're doing or have been doing or will be doing over the course of the past few weeks or this week or next week. So I think trade chatter starts coming up a bit more later. There's still a lot of time before the trade deadline.
There's been some tough miles for Matt Murray since he's come to Ottawa. I think that's fair to say, Pierre. He was very impressive last night for you. Is there less in patience here, or in terms of, what have you guys had to do to try to get him to be the guy that you stepped up and went and got?
Yeah, obviously we went and got him previous to last season, and, he probably didn't start the way he wanted to last year, but really bounced back. And then this year, I think as the whole team was inconsistent, he was inconsistent. But I think if you know anything about Matt, he's a pro, he's proud, he's really worked hard. And I think you saw part of it yesterday. You know, the game previous to that, we left him pretty much by himself against Toronto. But we were just starting probably our second phase, or going through our second phase of COVID at that point in time. So I think people forget that these hockey players are still human, and even though they make a lot of money, and when you got families and people that were in town for Christmas or whatever, a lot of our players, I think, were more thinking about COVID than the Leaf game, the previous game that we played for. But Matt Murray is definitely bounced back yesterday, and we expect him to be the goalie that won two cups with Pittsburgh.
You got a bit of a UND pipeline with North Dakota, and one of those guys is Jacob Bernard Docker, who played in the Alberta Junior Hockey League for Okotoks. We've got some listeners and connectivity through Dylan Holloway in that organization as well. He's played four games in the NHL. Right shot, D. What's he shown you?
He's shown a lot of good things. He's shown really good hockey IQ, great poise. Someone who can, do the little paw play, can do the stretch pass, can move the puck efficiently, skates well. I still think he's got to work on the details of his game, which he was doing really well in Belleville and progressing. But, he's someone that we see playing for the Ottawa Senators for a long time.
You got a lot. You got a lot of prospects. We know that about you. One of them is Jake Sanderson, the fifth overall pick, two picks after Stützle in the 2020 draft. You already mentioned Ridley Gregg with the Brandon Wakings. How has Sanderson's season gone to date so far?
Pretty good. Having the chance to see him in person, I had the chance to see North Dakota play Penn State, and I think they played in Nashville earlier in the year. Very impressed by him. Obviously, seen him play at the World Junior. Was flying to the World Junior the day that it was canceled, and was going to watch him. Obviously, playing one of the best tournaments that anyone gets to see during the year. But he's special. I think he's going to be a really impactful player in the NHL when he decides to come out of North Dakota. Obviously, he'll be on the American Olympic team, which is a great honor for him to represent his country. But he can do it all. He's an elite skater. He's a great passer. He's got really good offensive upside. He's got great details to his game. He's got a great stick. He knows how to defend using his body, angling people out. He'll be someone that can play, can log important minutes for us, and I think he'll be an important part of our future success.
Pierre, you guys have had a pretty good drafting record, and you've been able to find players later on in the draft. You stepped up on Tyler. I think it's fair to say some people think you stepped up on Tyler Boucher, and he has left Boston University. Has he gotten in any game? Where are we at right now with Boucher? Where has he been assigned to, by the way?
Boucher, obviously, what we did, we signed him not shortly after Christmas. We signed him as we didn't know what was happening with the Ontario Hockey League at that point in time, so we signed him to Belleville. So he went there and practiced for a little bit with Belleville. He had COVID, so we had to wait till early January that he could get back to Canada. And then he went and practiced with Belleville, and now he will be joining the 67 shortly. He's just got a little lingering injury that might take a week or two for him to be back, and we don't want to take a chance here. We want to make sure once he gets playing with the 67s that he will be at 100%, and then that's where he'll play the rest of the year.
How different is preparing for the draft? You guys, I think off the top of my head, have six picks in the first three rounds?
Is that so? I think we got five.
Okay.
If you want to give us an extra one, I'm good with that too.
I'd like to get Nick Paul. I just want to set the record straight. He plays multiple different positions. He's exactly what Edmonton could use, but I'm not the GM. How different is it preparing for, last year the OHL didn't even play. The Quebec League got in some games. Alberta, the WHL played sort of in pseudo bubbles. The NCAA did play. And has there been, I don't know if there's, and that's kind of a tough question because I think you could do more analytics on the pro side than you could do on the amateur side. Do you guys deploy that in terms of your evaluation for the NHL draft? And are you having to be more reliant because of the COVID protocols out there with video maybe than you have been in the past?
Yeah, obviously the last two drafts we've had to rely a bit on video. I'm a big proponent of you can use video as a tool, but nothing beats the eyes of a scout watching a player, because when you're watching video, a lot of times the camera follows the puck. To rate hockey sense, to rate, sometimes character, effort coming back into the play, just to get where maybe the puck will be going, but is not there right now. Your eyes definitely give you the best vantage point. As far as using analytics, we use analytics. I think it's another tool that, I think you have to use as many tools as you can to draft as good as possible. But as a former scout, nothing beats watching a player and getting a feel for that player.
DJ Smith had a bit of a, he had some tough teams. I mean, he had a team that took care of business against Erie. In the OHL, and I'm just looking at the makeup of your lineup here. Josh Brown was a guy you went out and grabbed. Sabrin, who might not be available tomorrow after that fight with Luch last night. And you got Austin Watson as well. Some teams have moved away. I actually think the Eastern Conference has beefed up a bit this year, Pierre. Do you still think that there's still an aspect in today's NHL where you have to ensure, and you've got some younger players, where you have to make sure that your team's looked after?
Well, obviously, you always want to make sure that no one will take liberties, especially when you have a younger group and a talented younger group like we have. There's something to be said about, I noticed it quite a bit last year, being closer to the ice surface, the chirping and the physical presence and the element, as much as we don't want to admit it, we're 2022, there's still an element of bullying when teams play against each other, and that's sports. It's something, you're always going to try and get an advantage of another team. So I think it's still there. I don't think you'll ever see stage fights again as we saw, in the 80s and probably early 90s, but I still think that competing, hockey's still a physical game, having that element of grit and toughness is still part of the game.
And pure Edmonton-centric question, because the guy was once cut when he was in Pee Wee. He and Jared Spurgeon must have been a hell of a Pee Wee team. Tyler Ennis, you brought him back. How's he been?
Tyler? Tyler's been good. You know what? Tyler, he's great to be around the guys. I still can't fathom a team that cut Spurgeon and Tyler Innes. They must have won every game because those two guys are pretty good NHL players. But no, he's been good. I think Tyler, obviously, offensively, he's gifted. I wish he'd shoot the puck a bit more. I think DJ would probably tell you the same thing. But he's a good puck possession player. He's good in the offensive zone. He's a good guy. He works hard. I actually like him when he's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder, and when he gets a bit cocky, that means you know you're going to get something good out of him. But as a human being, he can't find anyone better, and as a hockey player, he's definitely helped his team.
Well, normally when the Oilers play the Senators, we have either Bruce Garriott or Gord Wilson do the show. They're both great guys. Pierre, thanks for stepping up for us today, and special thanks to Chris for setting us up.
Perfect. Thanks, Bob.
You bet. That is Pierre Dorion. He's the general manager of the Ottawa Senators, and it is 1:50 at Edmonton. We'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to Oilers Now.
Hi, this is Zach Cassian from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
Yeah, that was quite the experience, you know, playing your first game. It's obviously nerve-wracking, and it's, you know, something you've been looking forward for your whole life. Now coming around back to Ottawa, I kind of want to get a little bit of redemption back. Obviously, I wasn't, I don't think for myself, I played the best game playing them the first time. So I'm excited to play these guys again. I'm excited to, keep stopping pucks and doing my thing.
There you go. That is Stuart Skinner. And he has a big fan club here in town right now. No question about that. It is 1:52. Something we did not mention, and I just got this message passed to me by one of the guys in the media. Last night, Connor Brown, we've talked about Connor Brown. He was on Connor McDavid's line. He's in junior playing for Chris Knobloch in Erie, represented by Jeff Jackson. That's McDavid's agent. Connor Brown last night had a puck, either ricochet off the post, or anyways, he got hit by the puck in the warm-up last night, broke his jaw, played. I don't know if you saw the game against the Flames, scored a great goal where he basically went end-to-end. And anyhow, he is out. He's out week-to-week with a broken jaw. Guy played the entire game with a busted jaw. If that doesn't say what hockey is, he's obviously... Robin Brownlee once used the line on Jason Smith that he's got the pain threshold of a cadaver. Zach Hyman's a bit like that, too. Connor Brown, big fan of DJ Smith and a favorite with the Sens organization, will be out, so they'll miss him. We're not sure on Stützle. I think there's a chance Stützle will play tomorrow night. He's a terrific young player for the Senators. Royal Pizza, Pizza Pass, and so much more. Edmonton owned and operated for over 50 years. For a menu and a list of their 15 Edmonton and area locations, go online at royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. The Stauffer recommendation, Mediterranean chicken. As we head into this, this was on this day? I remember this game. This day in Oilers history, brought to you by New West Travel. Looking for a great Oilers road trip? Fly nonstop to Nashville with Flair Airlines. Watch the Oilers play for only $1,750. Call New West Travel or go online at newwesttravel.com. On this date, in 1981, Brendan Escott, what happened?
The Oilers scored 6 goals in the third period to down the Leafs 7-4. Wayne Gretzky and Stan Weir each scoring twice. The Oilers moved to just 13-22-7 on the year.
Do you have time to look up on hockey? Was that game not in Toronto?
Let me dig it up.
Can you look that up on the fly going back to 1981? I know Gretzky went in the 79-80 season when he was trying to chase down the little beaver, Marcel Dion, who, by the way, I personally think Connor Bedard, that's who he reminds me of. An undersized, sort of stout, skilled, right-shooting centerman. Wayne was chasing down Dion for the scoring race and went into Toronto at the end of the 79-80 season. Donnie Ashby, who ended up passing away in a car accident next year, and Wayne each had 6 points, and Gretzky was first star. But I know there was another year they went into Toronto, and somebody threw ice on the ice. Or not ice, mice. Somebody threw mice. I don't know if they were inferring the refs were, 3 blind mice or whatever, but mice ended up. Brendan's going to look that up on the fly for us here. This Day in Oilers History brought to you by New West Travel. Looking for a great Oilers road trip? Fly nonstop to Nashville with Flair Airlines to see the Oilers play for just $1,750. It's a trip in April. We've got over 70 people already on the plane. Direct flight up and back, courtesy of Flair Airlines. You can visit newwesttravel.com. Brendan, were you able to find out if that game was in TO?
Yeah, it was at Maple Leaf Gardens. As far as whether there were mice on the ice, cannot confirm nor deny.
That was the game. I'm telling you right now because I remember Weir had two goals. It's not that, I mean, how many times did Wayne score? Twice, all the time. But Stan Weir, different. Stan Weir out of Pinoca, Alberta, by the way, back in the day. Reed Wilkins has Inside Sports tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. What's he got shaking?
Cam Moon from the Oilers Radio Network. Edmonton Elks head trainer Brian Cheeseman selected to be a part of Canada's men's Olympic hockey team group there. And Elks safety Jordan Hoover as well.
Oh, Jordan Hoover's back. I think he played at Acadia, if I'm not mistaken, in I guess they now call it youth sports football. All right, here's what we got shaking tomorrow. The Edmonton Oilers and the Ottawa Senators, the pregame show with Reed Wilkins, Rob Brown, Cam Moon, Jack Michaels. Jack and myself will have the call of tomorrow night's game. The face-off show begins at 6:30. The puck drop is at 8 p.m. Have a fantastic Friday, everybody. Again, Reed Wilkins tonight from 6 to 8. Up next, the global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell, followed by Rob Breckenridge from 2 to 3, and then the 6:30 chat afternoons with Jalen Nye from 3 to 6. Back at you tomorrow night, 6:30.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 6:30 Chad.